Good morning.
Good morning,
and welcome to Pentecost Sunday at Main Street United Methodist Church. Later this morning, you will witness the baptism of a child, the reception of her mother into our membership, and the filling of the Spirit and confirmation of three young people, so that you may prepare yourselves for this Feast of Pentecost. I invite you to bow your heads and pray simply, "Come, Holy Spirit." Let us stand before the Lord. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Jesus promised, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." The Apostle Paul declared, "The love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." He also commanded, "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophesying, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Our opening hymn of praise is addressed to the Holy Spirit, hymn number 539, "O Spirit of the Living God." moment ago, as I was standing here, I ducked as the Holy Spirit came by. And the Lord said, "Do not duck, Phil. Welcome the Spirit." At the end of the opening prayer, I want you to take some silence and listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. He may speak to you in a startling fashion. Bring someone to mind whom you need to forgive. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. It is you, O God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us light and life. You are the wind and fire of God's presence. You are the Spirit of Jesus ever with your church, and you teach us to come to the Father in childlike trust. You illumine the Holy Scriptures and convict us of sin. You grant dreams and visions and propel us into service. Where we have grieved you and kept you at arm's length, forgive our foolishness and come near again. Where we are fearful of your powers and surprises, lead us gently back to that deep and faithful participation that is the mark of a church where lives are changed. O Spirit of the living God, the Lord and giver of life, who spoke through the biblical prophets and still speaks today, we invite you to fill our worship and bring heaven down to earth. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before you are seated, turn to someone and say these memorable words. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I leak something terrible. I'm filled with the Spirit, but I leak something terrible. God bless you. I'm full of the Holy Spirit, but I leak something terrible. I ask y'all to say that to you because every time I meet somebody who's Pentecostal, they see me wearing this collar and looking kind of formal, and they say, "Pastor, are you filled with the Spirit?" And I say, "Yes, but I leak terribly." So if anybody ever asks you, "Are you full of the Spirit?" you can say, "Yes, but you know, I'm kind of like a sieve." What a wonderful Sunday we're going to have today. I want to thank you for your generous offerings the last 2 weeks where you gave over $2,000 to Epworth Children's Home. The week before, you gave almost $2,500 to Hunger Relief in addition to your regular offerings. I'm going to invite those on the center aisle to please pick up the registration pads that are on these center pews and We want everyone to sign in, all visitors. If you give us your address, we'll send you a letter. But we do want to know that you were here, and you can mark any boxes that apply to you. Our lay reader for today is Ms. Pam Faulkner. And I invite you to listen as she reads from the book of Joel about the promised gift of the Holy Spirit to all God's people.
Morning. Hear now the words of the prophet Joel. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for your abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten the hopper, the destroyer and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you. My people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Then afterwards I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show portents in the heavens, on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Then everyone who calls on my name, on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want all the children to come forward for the children's time and sit here in front of the baptismal font. Come on now, children. Maybe some adults will come help us. And just sit on the floor here. Come on, Kathy. Come on, kids, just right up here. Just come sit on the floor. Here comes some more. All of you over here, this way. Over here. What's this thing called? A what? No. It's called a baptismal font. And in here is a little plastic bowl that we use for baptisms. Now, what do you think's in here?
Water.
I'm not going to pour it all in because I'll save some for the baptism. But I want you to see what it looks like and sounds like. Isn't that cool? The Bible says that that's what God did on the day of Pentecost. He poured out the Spirit to fill up the Christians so they could be witnesses for Christ. Now, does anybody know what these are?
Sponges.
Now, what can you do with a sponge?
You can wash yourself.
You can wash yourself. You can clean stuff. I want to propose something to y'all. A lot of Christians are like this sponge. You could do some things with them, but it's kind of dry, isn't it? They have to really work hard at being a sponge. But what happens to this sponge when I put it in the water? What happens? The water that was in the bowl is absorbed in the sponge. So when I squeeze the sponge now, what happens? What happens? And what can I do with it again? I can put it back in there. And I can get it really soggy. And I can do all sorts of things with this sponge. Isn't that cool? This sponge is you. And this sponge is every Christian. We were designed to what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that when the world comes along and squeezes us, what runs out? The love and power of God. So I don't want you to be a dry, old, crusty Christian. I want you to be a Christian who is what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to just run the juice of God's love over everyone around you. And when you get empty, and when you get dry, you can always go back and what? Be filled and filled and filled again. Let us pray. Almighty God, pour your Spirit upon these children, that the life of Christ may dwell in them. In His name we pray. Amen. Okay, y'all can go now. Thank you. Just never know what's going to happen at Main Street Church. After the sermon, you're going to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, fill me with your divine life and holy fire. Release your gifts that I may serve in your strength. Impart a new hunger for your word that I may live in joy and wisdom. Make my calling clear. Let me see this wonderful broken world through your eyes. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me to overflowing. I'm going to pray that prayer and then sing a song and let God do whatever He will with all His people. Today is the day of Pentecost, and the classic text for today is from Acts chapter 2, so please take out your scripture sheet. You will notice throughout this passage the words all and each are used repeatedly. And we begin with the visible manifestation of God 50 days after Easter. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rush of mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. At this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each word heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, "Are not all these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the Lord comes, the great and terrible day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. In a little pamphlet on being filled by the Holy Spirit written by Dr. Bill Bright of Campus Crusade, he tells the story of Yates Pool, which is a wonderful West Texas oil field. During the Great Depressions, Mr. Yates was a sheep rancher. He wasn't able to make enough ranching to pay his mortgage and was in danger of foreclosure. With little money for clothes or food, Mr. Yates' family lived on a government subsidy like many of the people in the Depression. One day as he grazed his sheep over the West Texas hill, a seismographic crew from a Texas oil company told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well, and he signed a lease contract. At 1,115 feet on the first well, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Subsequent wells were more than twice that volume. 30 years after the discovery in the 1960s, a test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential to pump 125,000 barrels of oil a day. Mr. Yates owned it all, and yet he had been living on relief from the government. The day he bought his land, he got the mineral and oil rights and had no idea of the riches on which he was standing. It took an outsider to introduce him to his own wealth. And that is a parable for much of the American church. We are living on much less than an hour's because of our ignorance. We are living in spiritual poverty when the riches and power of the Holy Spirit's energy are our birthright and are near at hand for discovery and exploration. There is more to the Christian life, more adventure, more power, more wonder, more surprise than any of us have experienced. In the Holy Spirit given to the church, we have all that we need to do all that God has called us to do. Because the Jesus who was then and there in Palestine is made here and now in Greenwood by the go-between ministry of the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus became tangible in history. And then he poured out the Holy Spirit on the church as the living link between the church on earth and between the Father and the Son. I believe that reducing the Christian faith to correct doctrine and moral living is like reducing marriage to a wedding license and the resolve not to commit adultery. Now, we need doctrine and we need moral behavior. But the Christian life is primarily a relationship with the living God. It's an adventuresome life with God. Now, when duty and rule-keeping replaces romance in a marriage, something in the relationship has died. And when programs and traditions and low expectations replace this infectious sense that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, something is lost to the church. Now, the church I grew up in the 50s and 60s in Toronto was somewhat like this one. It was conventional in its ways. It was predictable and a bit suspicious of vivid religious experience. As a child in the pew, I remember having a vivid sense of God being the Father, especially when I sang the hymn, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres," even if I didn't know what the spheres were. God the Father was something like my dad sitting next to me in the pew, wise and strong, an admired expert, but at something of a superior distance, watching and hoping I would one day grow up to be a responsible, good man. As a child, I also had a fairly clear understanding of who Jesus was from reading Bible stories and the posters and singing my favorite hymns like "Fairest Lord Jesus" and "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." I knew that Jesus was supposed to have died for my sins, but at age 5, I couldn't think of enough sins to make it worth dying for. So I knew a little about the Father and a little bit about the Son, but the Holy Ghost was confusing. The only ghost I knew was Casper the Friendly Ghost on television. So maybe he was a little bit like that. Or maybe the Holy Spirit was some sort of impersonal force or power. I never remember any hymns on the Holy Spirit. And I never remember any preaching on the Holy Spirit. And I never remember hearing about miracles in our community or anyone being really saved or converted. In towns like Charlotte and Greenwood, we sort of left such exotic matters to the Pentecostals and Holy Rollers. We thought we were superior. We used sociology and psychiatry to explain their religion. You see, the poor needed a place to vent themselves and to experience the relief of emotional catharsis. It's just that they were continuing to read parts of the Bible that we had long forgotten and dismissed as not relevant to the modern world. In those days, the Methodists were going up the prosperity and sophistication ladder, and we were a little nervous when we read our own history and saw how powerful the Holy Spirit worked in our earlier days. One of my professors at seminary said that you can go by most Methodist churches and you will find a lightning rod running from the top to the ground. And that is because we remember that God once struck us in the past and we want to make sure that it never happens again. You see, we weren't officially Trinitarian people, but we worship God the Father kind of running the world, and We knew that Jesus was beside us, but we would rather segment off the surprises of the Holy Spirit to other people. And it's no wonder we were dry and predictable and not very user-friendly to the supernatural. We thought that we had to build the church in human strength. And if we could just get it organized properly and make all the committees work, this thing would stay alive and keep moving. And now we wonder, where did God go? And where did all the people go? You see, what we need cannot come from a program. It can only come from a hunger for God that God chooses to fill by refilling His dry disciples with the power and juice and energy and illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now you think about it. The disciples had spent 3 years as Jesus' understudies. They knew the tradition of Jesus. They then had 40 days of supernatural resurrection encounters in which He continued to teach them. So if you know the tradition and you know the glory of the risen Lord, what else do you need? But He sequestered them for 10 days of prayer to be empty again so that He could fill them with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of mission that lights up the tradition of Jesus, that confirms His resurrection, but fills us with the gifts and light of God to be credible Christian witnesses. Now, there are times in biblical history when the invisible God becomes visible, as atop Mount Sinai. And here on the day of Pentecost, after 10 days of waiting together and twiddling their thumbs and wondering what was going to happen, about 9 o'clock in the morning, as they were all seated, God came in the room in a visible manifestation. There was first sound like a tornado had dropped in the room. And then something appeared over the heads of each of them that looked like flames. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. And those flames slipped from the top of their heads into their beings. And they were flooded with the presence of Christ and with the power of God. The Christian life is not self-propelled. It is to be lived out of an indwelling. And we are brought into the life of the Trinity. The Father in the Old Testament is featured. And then in the life of Jesus, we feature the Son. And then the church is introduced to the missing piece of the Trinitarian reality as the church is filled with the Spirit and has a living link inside them now to the Father. The church lives within the circle of the Holy God, empowered for mission. And strange things happen. God downloaded into their brains 15 languages that they had never learned. This has happened across church history, especially in missionary settings. And at the sound, people came together, nations that had come to Jerusalem. And they didn't hear the apostles and the Lord's mother speaking in Aramaic or Greek. They heard them speaking in their own native language from which they had come. Now, if you go to Africa with an English Bible, you may get a few hearers. But when you take the 10 years it takes to produce a Swahili translation and you read that Swahili in front of Swahili speakers, something happens because they know that God is not an English God, that God speaks their mama tongue. And a crowd came together as God set up camp in the church. And they heard them proclaiming the gospel in their mother tongue. And it bewildered them. They did not know what was happening. God had come to indwell his people. And some were curious and said, what does this mean? And others were skeptical and said, oh, it's just a bunch of drunks. What we need in the church today is not just more techniques and better pastors, though that wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't help to have a few more wise, faithful bishops. What we need is a new Pentecost. It's not something anyone can produce. It's not a technique. It's when God's people just get hungry enough for the absence. And they say, Lord, come do it again. Come fill your church with divine power. Restore the love of Christ. Restore the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. Now Peter, who only 7 weeks before had denied Christ, stood up in front of that crowd, and behind him was the 11 apostles. And Peter lifted his hand as an ancient rhetorical speaker and said, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, give heed to my words." And then Peter cracked a joke. He says, "No one gets drunk at 9 a.m. It's just too early in the morning." Isn't that wonderful? Peter said, nobody gets plowed this early. They are inebriated, but they are inebriated with God. Have you ever had God touch you so deeply that tears and joy came together? Have you ever come and taken the sacrament and felt whole and forgiven? Have you ever prayed for someone and seen something supernatural happen? You see, folks, there's no such thing as a Christian without the Holy Spirit. Every believer in Christ has the Holy Spirit. And the question is not, do you have the Holy Spirit, but how much of the Holy Spirit has you? You see, there, up and down the street, there's some wonderful old big houses around this town. And, you know, I've seen one or two that look like remember the Munster's house on television? Now, you drive by some of those houses at night, and they'll give you the heebie-jeebies. And I rode by one night, and all the windows were dark. It was kind of stormy, and there was a single light on in the hallway. So somebody said, "Phil, is there light in the house?" I said, "Yeah, look at it. It's in the hallway. But the rest of the house is dark." So there's light in the house, but the house is not filled with light. Many Christians have the Holy Spirit, but they keep him locked away. He's not been allowed to fill all the rooms of the self and to claim them for Christ. Now, this is not about copying some other denomination. It's not even about being loud and exuberant, though there's nothing wrong with loud and exuberant. And some of you, when you go to Clemson, Carolina games, I've heard that you get loud and exuberant. It's about saying, "Lord, would you flood me? Would you fill my mind and heart and every compartment in our life with your presence? Would you help me find joy in you that I've been craving and all these other things in my life? Would you make me a real spirit-filled Christian who's eager to serve and be involved in mission?" And then for the Jews, Peter said, what's happening here is what Joel the prophet promised hundreds of years ago, that the day was coming when God would pour his Spirit on all his people and break down the barriers. Young men and old men would see dreams and prophesy. God would pour out his Spirit on male and female. God would even include the slaves who were in the camp of Israel, so that whoever called on the name of the Lord would be saved. I'm thankful for all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, from the more normal to the more exotic. I welcome them all. The church needs them all. But they're not for Christian entertainment. They are for the preaching of the gospel in every single language. And the Spirit is the Spirit of mission that pushes us to cross racial and economic and national barriers so that people can know that the God of heaven speaks their heart language and wants them to come to know Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is God. It is your legacy as a Christian not to be like the dry sponge, but be like the wet one. At every opportunity to be filled and refilled and filled again. That you may be a living agent of this great kingdom of God. Will you pray this prayer with me? Will you sing this song? Will you throw open your mind and heart to whatever God may want to do? The prayer is found on the back of your bulletin. A prayer to be filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit. And I invite you to pray it aloud with me. Lord Jesus, fill me with your divine life and holy fire. Release your gifts that I may serve in your strength. Impart a new hunger for your word that I may live in joy and wisdom. Make my calling clear and let me see this wonderful broken world through your eyes. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me to overflowing. Amen. The hymn that we're going to sing was written by a man who died several years ago. His name was John Wimber. I've read his books. He's had a powerful influence on my life. So as we stand and sing, I invite you to just throw open your life to whatever God wills to do. Please stand. Has just done. But if something new breaks forth in your life, please let me know. I need the encouragement. Our ushers are prepared to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. For the spirit-filled hands of Joyce Nichols and Phyllis Leach, and for Dvorak's Slavonic Dance, Opus 72, number 2, which made me almost want to skip across this altar, and for all things good and beautiful, let us stand and give praise to God.
Thank you.
us pray. Lord, for the gifts your people have given, that they may be multiplied in ministry. But even more, Lord, for the gift of your people, that they be filled with the Spirit, that they be scattered across this community and all the places of their employment to love Christ and love your people. Lord, because we are not yet in the kingdom, we pray again for its coming as Jesus instructed. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This time I'm going to ask the baptismal family to come and take their place, and for the confirmands and their friends and family to come take their places to my right. And the congregation may be seated. The congregation will take your hymnals and turn to page 33. We will first baptize Mason Elizabeth Munnerlin and receive her mother by transfer. And then we will confirm our confirmation class. If you'll join me at red number 1. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated to God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Holy Spirit. All this is God's gift to us, offered without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And now to Mason's parents and to our confirmation class, the renewal of your baptismal promises. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I never get tired of this next question. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And now to Mason's parents. Will you nurture your daughter in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example, Mason may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Number 6 is for all. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? And now a question for all the adults that are here, for Mason's parents and the parents of these confirmands and their mentors. Will you who sponsor these candidates support and encourage them in their Christian life? Now at the top of page 35, red number 8 is for the whole congregation. Do you as Christ's body of the church reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Church, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Thanksgiving of the Water is found on page 36. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you sent the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John, anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations. His glory among all the people.
His glory among all the people.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water in she who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, Mason may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. And our lay leader will present our candidate for Christian baptism. Hey, Mason. You ready? Mason, I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And God's people said, Amen. Mason, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross as Christ's own forever. The Holy Spirit so work in your life that all your life long you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said,
Amen.
And ain't she cute? Her grandmother is glowing at the moment. And I'm going to ask if you'd just walk her down the aisle a little bit and bring her back, and then we'll finish up. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Now, when this child breaks your heart, here's her certificate as a reminder that you are raising her for Jesus Christ. Mason, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Mary Lynn? And now, before the family is seated, I have a special blessing for her and her parents. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. Yes. Y'all can have a seat. I'm going to ask Kathy to come join me and also Jessica. Yes, you can sit down. Where are Kathy and Jessica? Okay. Come stand to my left and to my right. Our confirmation service, if you will please turn to page 37. These young people have been through 18 weeks of training, including working with a mentor, reading the Gospel of Luke, having a service project, and going through an interview. They come today and have renewed their baptismal promises. Their baptismal dates are printed in the bulletin so that you can see that their parents have faithfully raised them. And today is some of the fruit of that parent's work of discipleship in their home. As a reminder of their baptism, each candidate is going to come in order and put their hand in the font and just touch themselves on the forehead with the sign of the cross. And I will say to them, remember your baptism and be thankful. Then they will take their places and kneel. We'll lay hands on them that they be filled with the Holy Spirit for a life of discipleship. And so our first candidate to come forward is Griffin Ray Ballantyne. Griffin, if you come, just put your hand in the water and mark yourself on the forehead with the sign of the cross. Griffin, remember your baptism and be thankful. You can kneel. William Blaylock Dudley. William, remember your baptism and be thankful. You can kneel. And now Cecilia Jane McGinnis. Cecilia, remember your baptism and be thankful. Now I'm going to ask their parents and mentors to come stand behind them and to join us in the laying out of hands. Jesse will first place a stole around them that they made on a confirmation retreat. And then I will pray the prayer of confirmation. And then, Jesse, if you'll hand us the certificates from over there on the communion table. I'll ask Kathy to present those. And by laying hands on Griffin, and let us pray. Griffin Ray Ballantyne, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life as a faithful, Spirit-filled disciple of Jesus Christ, and grow to be a holy and good and strong man. Amen. Join me in the laying on of hands. William Blaylock Dudley, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live all your life as a faithful, Spirit-filled disciple of Jesus Christ, and that you may grow to be a strong and wise and good man whom others will want to follow. We bless you. Amen. Cecilia Jane McGinnis, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful, Spirit-filled disciple of Jesus Christ, and that you may grow to be a woman of beauty and character and achievement, and that God may use you greatly in His kingdom. Amen. I want these to stand there and turn and face the congregation. The primary instructor of Christian children is not the pastor, not the youth leader, not the children's minister, or the Sunday school teacher. The primary instructor of Christian children is Christian parents. He'll be okay. We have a doctor at hand. So I want to thank these parents for what they've done with these children. And you need to know that you have our support and encouragement as you continue to raise them as good and godly children. I think you ought to give these parents a hand. And you can be seated. As soon as everybody clears out, on the back of your scripture sheet, why don't y'all stand beside each other? You got a microphone for them, Jesse? On the back of your scripture sheet is a creed that our confirmation class wrote, and it's their confession of faith, and I'm going to ask that Kathy and Jesse, that you just follow and that they read that for you.
We believe in God's math. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit equals one God. We believe our God is the creator of all things. We are created in His image. God sent His Son to die on the cross to save us. He is loving, caring, perfect, all-powerful, and all-knowing. We believe that Jesus is God's Son, who was born to die on the cross for us. He was truly human and perfect at the same time. He worked miracles. He is our teacher, healer, and friend. He is the Lamb of God. We believe the Holy Spirit roars like fire and breathes life into us. The Holy Spirit guides us, protects us, teaches us, comforts us, and advocates for us. The Holy Spirit is an ever-present wind within us and leaves us with an everlasting fire. We believe that we, the people, are the church. We are one big family that worships together, helps and guides each other, prays together, and has fun together. We believe we are all called to be ministers to everyone.
Isn't that amazing? I'm going to ask that Kathy and Jesse and our two confirmands come stand over here, and our baptismal family come stand here, and the church's going to come greet you. We're going to conclude our service by singing the first and second stanzas only of hymn number 672. Please stand.
Thank you.
have a warning for Greenwood. Here come the Spirit-filled Methodists. Almost every week we are baptizing someone, confirming faith, giving to missions, and hearing of signs and wonders. Go forth to spread the blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.